evenings.
It is winter. Do you have your winter clothes out? And as I mentioned earlier, are they mostly black or grey? Well, forget that. It's time to get a splash of colour into your life, and here's why. You'll feel better, look better, spend less. You'll feel brighter, happier. And it's on trend with youth, So, I don't know, you'll be cool too. Imogen Lamport, colour consultant based in Melbourne, who's currently at an image consultant conference, wait for it, in the Caribbean, where everything looks brighter. Imogen, welcome to National Friday Evenings, and thank you. I know it's quite early where you are at the moment.
No problem. Thanks, Serene. And yes, everything here is brighter.
I imagine you're surrounded by colour right now.
I am. In fact, I'm standing at the window in my hotel room and looking out at the dawn sky past all the palm trees to the beautiful blue water. So it's
colour, pretty hard to take.
Mm.
So, I don't know, colour, back on trend?
It does appear to be, and it's interesting because, you know, I didn't realise it was quite so on trend until I had a client who came from America who was telling me, oh, it's all over Instagram and TikTok.
Okay.
People, you know, trying to analyse themselves, but also too, people kind of starting to understand that colour does actually have an impact on how you look as well as how you feel about what you're wearing.
So how does wearing colour change how you feel?
Colour really does impact us quite highly. There's an awful lot of colour studies around that show that, you know, the colours we wear and the different colours have different impacts. And so this is one of those things that you can think about. You know, colour has different moods. You think about, you know, blue is cool. So on the really hot days here in the Dominican Republic where I am, like hot pink or red just feels way too warm versus something like, you know, blue or green does feel a little bit cooler. But what's really interesting is we actually remember a coloured experience, something like 70% more than a neutral one, so black, white, grey, you know, kind of more neutral experience. So colour has a way of making you more memorable as well.
And when you say that, do you mean as in you're more likely to remember something you wore on a particular day or at a particular time because of the colour?
It can be that. It can also be, say, if you met someone and it's the, you know, the person with the red glasses.
Ah, yes.
Or it's the, you know, there was a, you know, person there with purple shoes, like that.
Distinctive.
You know, just having colour in your outfit. So if you're going for a job interview and you're just turning up in black and white and amongst a sea of people turning up in black and white, you become so much more forgettable versus if you're the one who turns up wearing a bit of colour, you are actually going to make a larger impression on the person interviewing you than if you're just turning up in a much more neutral palette.
Yes. So why do so many of us gravitate to black and to blacks and greys, especially in winter?
It's really interesting because I think, you know, when I was growing up, black was very much, it was widows, you know, widows wore black or it was evening wear. And then, you know, in the, you know, 90s and stuff, it became sophisticated. It got to be seen as very, you know, all day, every day sophisticated. And now it's just become the fallback position because people are really unsure of what works for them. And so they go, if I wear black, I can't get it wrong. Right. And, of course, we've been fed what I call the black myth, that black is always the most slimming colour, which it's not. But it is one of those things. So people just think, oh, it's just safe, it's slimming, it goes with everything. I don't have to think about it in a way that if you're trying to mix and match colours, if you don't understand how colours mix and match, it just feels much safer and much easier. And look, I can tell you, I walk into stores all the time and I might be with a client shopping or even just shopping for myself, and the number of times I'm in a store and I'll pick up something in a colour and the sales assistant will say to me, oh, did you see we have that in black?
Oh, really?
And I almost, yes, it happens all the time.
Wow.
And I go, it's almost like they're black drug pushers. So because it's safer, so more people will buy it because they feel like they can't go wrong. So I think there's something in there about, you know, why we end up in black. And it's funny because for me, when it's, you know, midwinter Melbourne, I actually don't want those sort of colors a lot of the time because it feels dull and drab. What I actually want is that's when I want my red or something more vibrant because it makes me feel warmer.
Makes you feel warmer. So this is interesting. And you mentioned this, and I want to get into it in a little bit more detail in terms of when I was thinking about, you know, just coming into this chat with you, I was like, okay, I can understand wearing color can have, you know, a positive effect, just more overall, I really thought, other than just kind of what you were pointing to, that, you know, black can be associated obviously with, you know, periods of mourning for some, or periods of, again, it's dark, it's not light and bright to make you feel uplifted, if you like. But thinking about it in terms of particular colours being evocative in a way toward when it comes to feelings isn't something I really thought about. So I'm keen to get into that in a little bit more detail with you once we kind of get into this whole getting your colours done business. But before we do, just on your point there, does everyone look good in colour? Are there some do's and don'ts, Imogen?
Everybody looks good in some sort of colours, absolutely. And in fact, most people have colours that there's like something like 16 million identified colours, right? So there's an awful lot of them out there. The colour palette, you know, so then colour's been broken down into smaller colour palettes or colour directions, however you want to call them. And so these colours have similar properties. So when we kind of understand what we're looking at colour analysis, we're actually breaking down colour into its colour properties. So there's three main colour properties. There's what we call the value, which just means how light or dark a colour is. So adding white to a colour, making it lighter. Adding black to a colour, making it darker. We have what we call the intensity. So that's how bright the colours are. So, you know, you have the really, like, fluoros at one end of the spectrum. And if you've ever tried to mix the greys in your wardrobe and you just, like, they just don't go together, it's actually because those greys are not pure grey. Not like as in black and white mixed together grey.
They're like a marl or whatever they're called. You know how you get those marls and stuff like that? No?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. Are we losing each other?
You just broke up for a second.
Oh, nothing. Ignore me. I was just jumping in saying a word like marl or something like that when it comes to greys.
Yeah, like marl. Or just, but even too, that, or colours will have, you'll go, oh, it's a greenish grey or a bluish grey or a slightly yellowy grey. And so those greys don't mix together because they're actually just a version of a colour with a lot of grey in them.
Right.
But they're still a colour. So we've kind of got the really bright colours, the more muted colours, and then we have the undertone of the colours. So that's how kind of like the cool blue-based colours versus the warmer yellow-based colours. So we have, once we've figured out, you know, what's your undertone, what's your intensity, and what's your value, those three things then give you this massive range of colours. And those are the colours that make you look great, but also those colours mix and match together really easily because they have the same properties. So they're in harmony with each other. So really when we're looking at colour analysis, we're looking at you, what are your colour properties, and therefore what are the colours that have are in common with you, and they'll be the ones that make you work. So there's a version of red for everyone. It's just for some people it's tomato, for other people it's raspberry, for somebody else it might be cherry, and then it may also be a much more softer or muted red, you know, but there's a version out there for everybody.
We're talking about colours and clothes, specifically brightening up our winter wardrobe, and I'm with colour consultant Imogen Lamport, who is coming to us from an image consultant conference actually in the Caribbean. Undertone, intensity, and value. What do they mean in this context?
So really they just mean what kind of colours you're looking for. So if you're looking for overall darker colours or overall lighter colours, or, you know, do we like the warmer palette? So we'll often think of warmer colours in that kind of yellow, orange, red sort of spectrum.
Yes.
And cooler colours in that green, blue, violet. But that's really just kind of how we associate colours with hot things and cold things, sun versus water. When in fact there is cool greens and warm greens. So if we think about a green, say an olive green,
that's what
is a warm green. It's got a lot of yellow in it. So if you were mixing paints and you were painting that colour, you'd have to add some yellow to that, you know, some extra yellow to make it more yellow.
I like
versus if you were, you know, creating more of a, say, emerald, there's be a bit more blue in there. So that's a cooler version of the green. So the right green will make you look really healthy. The wrong one can make you look quite ill. And that's where colour analysis, people have started to see that, where, you know, you've gone out, you've tried on clothes, you've brought some things home, and you just think, I put it on and I don't feel good. And that's because it's not playing nicely with your complexion and your colouring. And so that's where those same colours that, you know, so if you figured out, well, you know, this colour doesn't really work, there's also a bunch of other colours that have related colour properties that also either won't work, or the ones that do work will look amazing on you.
I've got on the text line, today I wore a green jumper with a purple scarf, dark purple coat, black pants and black boots. Black can be very ageing when worn close to your face, says a texter.
It absolutely can, because when we think about colour, colour is reflected light. Because people often go, how does this even work? So colour is reflected light. So if you go back to physics at school, you know, the light through the prism, we get the rainbow. So when we're looking at, say, the colour yellow, all the other colours in the spectrum are absorbed and the yellow is reflected. And so everything we're wearing is reflecting onto us. So when we think about, well, what's black? Well, black is the absence of light, or it is the absorption of all light. But when we are looking at clothing, what happens is it reflects shadow. So particularly as we get older, we have a few more lines and wrinkles and maybe a double chin. What black is doing is throwing shadow onto your face, and that highlights any line, any wrinkle, any double chin, which is why it becomes quite harsh. And also as we age, if we think about hair, so, you know, most of us, you know, as we get older, our hair starts going grey. Now, grey is a more muted colour naturally, and we notice losing that pigment from hair, but our skin is actually changing in line with our hair, which is why often when people dye their hair back to whatever colour they might have had when they were young,
it may not
work. It looks too harsh. And so this is why that, you know, you may have been able to carry off black when you were young, but as you get older, it's like black is a really bright, intense colour versus, you know, we then need to start to soften down the colours and they become a little bit more grey down, a little bit softer rather than something, you know, so bright. And, you know, if you don't want to have the double chin, it's amazing. Like I'm always showing my clients how, you know, how black is not doing things for them. And they're like, as soon as they've seen it, like, I'll never wear black
again.
My face again.
Look, I can relate to that texter. I'm probably more likely to wear black waist down as opposed to waist up. Like on top, I might wear it for pants and shoes, but not necessarily tops and jumpers. And if I am, then I'm putting something very light, like a light jumper or a light jacket or a light cardigan or something on top of it.
Yes, and that's going to reflect more light, you know, to your face as well, which is going to make you have a bit more brightness.
So what about, Imogen, then, getting your colours done? What does it actually mean? Is it what we've been talking about?
It absolutely is. So what we do with colour
analysis, because that's what it's called, colours, getting your colours done.
Colours done, or a colour analysis is a technical term. But yeah, so what we do is we, you know, we test lots of different colours against you. So we've pre-categorised our colours. So back in the 80s, in the when colours were trendy at that time, when Colour Me Beautiful, the book came out, there was four seasons. And it worked very well if you were Caucasian, because it was all very much developed in, you know, the UK and Northern America, which was a very Caucasian system. And then since then, we've gone, you know what, there's a lot of people who don't fit into these four seasons. So like people like me, I developed a colour system in 2009 because I was going, you know, I've had to try and fit people into this system rather than having something for them. So I went back to the drawing board. I looked at those three colour properties we talked about, the value, the intensity and the undertone. And I went, well, what are all the options we can create out of that? And so now I have 18 different colour palettes, colour directions. And so that works. And, you know, because in Australia too, that we have, and I live in Melbourne, it's very multicultural. You know, I have tested this. I go to Asia. I do a lot of training in Thailand as well. You know, currently here out in the Caribbean, there's lots of people with much darker skin that, you know, than was originally, you know, seen in any color analysis. And so we have a palette now kind of for everybody. So really what we're doing is we're testing different sorts of colors against your skin, and we're seeing which are the ones that make you look brighter, more intense, more vibrant, more alive, more youthful, versus which are the ones that drain you of life. And you can really see it. You can see when when you compare a great color with a not so great color, just your face will light up, or it's almost like your face just drops, it falls, it instantly ages.
And it is one of those. Is this one of those things that we do maybe without realizing? You know, with friends and family, when you know, just a really quick statement. If they happen to have a coloured, you know, top on, look at that's so something might be. If it's not obvious, oh, it's something different today. Your face looks this, or you look like that, or you're looking good, or someone's like, oh, that colour really suits you. And sometimes it's just things that you're picking up on in that way.
Yeah. So sometimes it could be, wow, that, you know, top brings out your eyes. Like if you have blue eyes, like, wow, that blue really makes your eyes look bright. So that's what we'd call a signature color.
Okay.
Or it can be, I mean, I remember when my daughter was a baby and I was wearing the correct colors and people said, oh, she must be a great sleeper because you look so well rested. And she was terrible. I'm going, no, I'm just wearing the right colors.
That's it, just wearing the right colors. not very, very hard to do either. But can we get a little bit into this season thing you've been talking about? What do you mean? Do you mean literally seasons of the year? Like, are these categories?
So the original, and this is where we've moved on a long way from the seasons these days. So originally there was kind of the four seasons, and it came from the art movement, the Bauhaus, where Johannes Eaton, who was a Bauhaus kind of painting teacher, noticed his students would paint in the colours of the season, but we're talking about this North American, Northern European season where, you know, summer has very dull, muted lighting and winter is actually bright because of all that snow, which is very irrelevant in a country like Australia in particular. And so this is where, so it was kind of autumn had those kind of deciduous autumn leaf colours. So that's where that seasonal thing came from. But this is where now we've very much talked much more now in, is it a light colour or a dark colour, a bright or a muted, a warm or a cool? So we use the technical terms rather than, you know, spring, summer, autumn, winter. So, you can be, you know, deep, cool and bright, or maybe you might be light and warm and muted. And then, you know, well, I am looking for colours that have those colour properties rather than is it spring, summer, autumn or winter.
Okay. Right, I understand. And what about, and this would go, this would sort of apply also in terms of actual seasons and our skin tones, for instance. You know, in winter we might be a little bit on the, depending, this isn't everybody, but for many maybe on the paler side, or you've got a tan in summer.
Yeah, that what's can interesting maybe vary. Is your colouring doesn't change through the seasons, because you may tan in summer, but it actually won't change the colours. Now, when you've got a tan, you might be able to wear some colours that aren't as great for you because you look less washed out.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear like a strong yellow if it's winter and I haven't gotten a lot of sun. I'm not putting a bright yellow top on.
because you would find. So maybe that yellow isn't your greatest colour anyway. So it could be. So really your colours are the same throughout the years. You just may wear them slightly differently.
Gotcha.
Or you might just go, I just don't feel like yellow in winter either, because that's also, you know, it's a colour we associate with summer more. So we'll find that, during this, you know, the different seasons, your colours stay the same. You may choose to wear them differently. And you have a palette of, I call it, you know, I give my clients a palette of 50 colours, but I say this is like 50 of the 50,000 you can go out and wear. So, you know, because you couldn't carry them all when you're out shopping, and it would be overwhelming if you were trying to look at that many colours. But really it's like if it's a slightly lighter one or a darker one, or when you're looking at a palette, you can go, if it fits in between these colours, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, is it my family or is it somebody else's family? And you're really looking for the colours that have those same colour properties, because then you'll find that whenever you buy a new piece of clothing, it mixes and matches into your wardrobe really easily so that you can create more outfits from less clothes, and that everything works together. So it's like I've got the right kinds of purples and greens so that when I put them together, it's like, oh, this works really, really easily, rather than oh, these clash and then I don't know, you know, how to put colours together, because people often say, I don't know how to mix and match colour.
Yeah,
but what they're actually trying to do is mix and match colours that don't go together rather than the ones that do go together.
And is that where white comes in? I don't know. I'm just thinking about I throw whites in when I'm playing like with colours. If again, if it's like a blouse I'm throwing on top, I might throw a white top sort of under it. My go-to, especially actually more in summer than I do this more than in summer than I do in winter, is that I'll go for that white top and then I'll throw stuff around it.
Yeah, because white, again, we associate that more with summer, don't we? We associate like wearing more white jeans in summer and white clothes in summer because it's, you know, it doesn't absorb the heat in the same way as the black does. And it's got that light and bright, airy feel to it. But, of course, like whites, you know, when you go to the paint store, is there just one white?
Mm. Oh, gosh, don't get me started, Imogen.
So you go, you know, like there is a myriad of whites, and that's the same. So some people, you know, look great in the really bright whites. For other people, that just drains you. And you need a more creamy white or an off-white or an ivory. So this is where, and I always say to work out your best white is to match it to the whites of your eyes. So when you're in a store and you're looking at a white garment, hold it up and notice, is it whiter than the whites in my eyes? Because if it is, it's going to make you look dull.
That's a good tip.
If you've got a white that's very yellow but you've got whiter whites, that's also going to make you look sallow. So it's kind of getting that balance with the whites of your eyes and you, and you'll actually find that that's the right sort of white for you. So, you know, unlike black where there's really one version of black, we know just from ever we've ever decided to what white will I paint my walls, that there are so many different whites, and it's then just finding the right ones. And it used to be that it was very hard to buy anything other than clinical bright white.
Yeah, sure,
but now,
that's right.
You know, I see, you know, a million different whites when I'm in stores. So it's not too hard to find a good white.
Mm, but good tip in terms of just matching it with the white of your eyes. Didn't think of that. I like it. Oh, I like it.
Well, back to because we're thinking about eyes. You know, if somebody's jaundiced, their eyes goes yellow. Our eyes are a real sign of health.
Mm.
And so when we can make our eyes look brighter, we actually look healthier and more youthful.
Mm. So back to when we're talking about, you know, if someone says that looks great on you, is that an easy sign that you're onto a good colour for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's a good sign. If people go, oh, you look amazing. Now, there's a difference between I love your blue dress and, you know, wow, your eyes look really, and that colour really brings out your eyes.
Mm.
So if people are only ever talking about the colour but not actually in context with you, the colour probably doesn't work because they're seeing the garment before you. So the right colours create a face focus where we see you and then the garment, and as a whole, you just look amazing versus when the colour is wrong, because people can go, oh, I love that jacket or I love that thing, but is it because it's about you or is it just I'm looking at the jacket and go, I love the jacket.
Mm. Yes. And then it kind of made me think, because I thought, okay, you know, there is getting your colours done, but what about just your own opinion? And then I did think of myself, but you've kind of answered this question a little bit earlier, but I do want to come back to it because I thought to myself, oh, well, personally, I don't like red or green block coloured tops on me. I don't like the way that my face kind of mixes with the green top or a red top. But it makes me think back to what you were talking about a little bit earlier, is it could potentially be that shade of green and that shade of red that I had. So it was like a bottle green and a really rich red.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone near it.
Absolutely, I would say it is most likely the wrong version.
Cool. That kind of opens things up, you know.
No, so there'll be a red out there for you, but it just may not be the one that you
I had never dared, Imogen. I had never dared. I'll go olives all the time. I really love olives. Mm-hmm. That's the closest. That's kind of the green I'll go for, but I haven't played.
That you're most likely warmer. Mm-hmm. So the bottle green is cool, and the bottle green will not do anything for you. Mm-hmm. It'll drain you.
Indeed.
Because the bottle dream's cool. So I would say that's probably a good indication if you go, you know what, and maybe the rich red was too cool.
It was very rich.
Maybe you need to get a bit more into the more tomatoey,
soft,
you know, sort of red, and maybe a slightly softer version as well. Like I have a lot of clients who are quite soft, because what's really interesting with colour is it comes from your genetics. So as Australia is incredibly multicultural, we have, you know, like diverse backgrounds and mm-hmm. diverse colouring in mm. our, you know, genetic makeup.
Mm.
And so what happens is, if you're imagining, I don't know if you could take you back to art at school when you were painting something and you'd, you know, paint something in blue and then you wash your brush out and, you know, and then you paint something in red and you wash your brush out and you paint something in, you know, pink and you wash your brush out. And what happens to the water?
Yeah.
The water goes grey and muddy. Yeah. And this is what happens with colouring. When we have a lot of different influences of different colouring in our background, our colour tends to be more muted
naturally.
Rather than being really bright, versus if you go to places like, say, India or parts of China, which are very monocultural, you'll find that the colouring stays much brighter because people are having, you know, babies with people who look very similar in their colouring to them.
Interesting.
And so this is where there's a lot more mutedness in colouring in Australia. And so if you've got a slightly more muted, and olive's often a bit more muted, that, you know, people often say to me, oh, just every time I try and wear a red lipstick, it doesn't work. And it's, I'm going, well, if you've got muted colouring, that bright red lipstick is going to look really odd on you.
You're
versus
right.
if we find a soft red, then that will actually work really well. But that bright red doesn't work because you don't have that bright colouring. Mm,
there you go. Oh, it's all very, very, very interesting. And I know you're at your conference, we've got to let you know, but before we do, given that you're at an image consultant conference right now and on point to our topic tonight, what are some takeaways, or are you kind of just getting settled?
Have you? No, we just had the first day yesterday.
Yep.
So, you know, what's amazing when you come to an image consultants conference, it's the best dressed place you ever go. And because we're in the Caribbean, we have a lot of consultants here from all through Central and South America.
Right.
And the colour, you know, you see colour everywhere. There's almost no black. You know, there's maybe two or three people in black in a sea of hundreds of colourful people. And you know what? I notice, like, whenever I go to one of these conferences, when we're at the hotel, is all the other guests will see us all and go, wow, that looks great.
Yeah.
People react really positively to seeing other people in colour.
Yes.
It brings other people joy as well.
Yes, this is true. Couldn't agree more.
So, you know, I mean, one of the things, like, there was a, you know, a session I went to yesterday, which was all about sustainability. And, you know, people talk about sustainability in fashion all the time. And is it the, you know, fast fashion and, like, the massive wastage that goes on in fashion and, you know, these things these days. But really what image consultants have been trying to help people do forever is be more sustainable. Because when you only buy garments that work for you, you like what you've got in your wardrobe,
yeah.
you wear what you've got in your wardrobe, and you're not making those same mistakes. You're not buying things and going, oh, it doesn't work, and then it sits there for a while and then you get rid of it. You're actually loving what's in your wardrobe and you're feeling good because it's a representation of you that makes you feel like the best version of you. So, you know, it's fun to think about it in that way.
Indeed it is. And we'd better let you get back to your conference and stop hogging you like this. But just before I do, one more. You've kindly given us a song to kick off our Feeling Good mixtape, Imogen. What you got for us?
Well, I've always been a big fan of James Brown, I Feel Good.
Excellent. Great. Well, thank you. Thanks again. Thank you for, I know it's an early time over at the Caribbean. All the best. I mean, then again, you're at the Caribbean, so whatever. Fine. Wake up early for us. I hope the rest of the conference goes well. And again, thanks for joining us on the show, Imogen. It's been wonderful chatting with you and some great hints and tips and really thought-provoking too.
Thanks so much, Sharon.
Imogen Lamport, colour consultant based in Melbourne. Oh, and over on Nightlife this evening with Suzanne Hill. Suzanne will also be exploring colours in an urban development setting. So be sure to tune in to Nightlife, of course, after 10 o'clock then. All right, let's kick off with Imogen's song choice for our mixtape, songs that have feel good or feeling good in the title. And to kick us off, Imogen, of course, has chosen James Brown. I Got You, I Feel Good.
Wow!